Welcome to another deep dive. This time we're going exploring the world of Washington, D.C. real estate.
Ooh, should be interesting.
You sent over a really interesting collection of articles about luxury real estate trends in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of see how all of that connects to politics and the rise of tech giants.
Right.
Get ready for some pretty surprising insights into how, you know, how the landscape of power is literally being built in our nation's capital.
Yeah. It's kind of fascinating to see how money and power kind of reshape the physical space. It's not just about, you know, bricks and mortar. We're going to see how decisions made in Silicon Valley and decisions made in the Oval Office directly impact D.C.'s neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
And even its skyline.
Absolutely. Let's start with this whole Trump bump phenomenon. Everyone's been talking about it.
Yeah.
These articles suggest that there was this surge in D.C.'s luxury real estate market.
Uh-huh.
And it seems tied to the influx of billionaires who joined the Trump administration.
Right.
So what's going on there?
Well, it's not just about owning a piece of the American dream, is it? It's much more calculated than that. You know, think about billionaire investor David Rubenstein.
Right.
He had a great comment about how these investments in real estate are often politically motivated.
Right.
They're not just buying houses. They're buying proximity to power.
Ah, I see.
They want to be able to, you know, rub shoulders with the people making the decisions, potentially even influence policy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like instead of lobbying, they're just buying a seat at the table, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's not just those directly involved in politics making these moves. We see tech giants like Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
Exploring D.C. real estate. So what's their play?
That's interesting. Well, consider what Meta has been doing recently. I mean, they're pouring money into artificial intelligence, right? So this move into DC real estate could be a strategic way for Zuckerberg to be closer to lawmakers who will be shaping AI regulations.
So it's not just about having a swanky DC pad. It's about positioning themselves to actually influence the rules that will govern their industry.
Right. Precisely.
Okay. But then how does ending Meta's third-party fact-checking program, which happened around the same time, how does that fit into all of this?
Yeah, well, that's where things get a little more complicated. I mean, some people saw it as an attempt to align with the preferences of certain Trump allies who were really critical of that program.
Oh, wow.
So you can see how it's all part of this intricate dance between, you know, tech giants and political power.
It's a dance with very high stakes, though, it seems.
Absolutely.
And it's not just Zuckerberg either, right? There are other tech players who are buying up prime DC real estate.
Yeah, you're catching on. We've got David Sacks, the PayPal co-founder.
Oh, right.
He dropped over $10 million on a DC home.
Wow.
After, you know, being appointed by Trump to head AI and crypto initiatives. And then there's Jacob Hellberg.
Oh, okay.
Another Trump appointee, known for his strong stance on China. And he chose Kalorama.
Right. That's a very exclusive neighborhood for his $7 million residence. Kalorama keeps coming up, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Beverly Hills of D.C. What makes it such a magnet for the political and tech elite?
I mean, just imagine scrolling through Kalorama and like bumping into Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
Or even Barack Obama. I mean, he lived there after his presidency.
Oh, right.
These grand historic homes, you know.
Right.
They're steeped in prestige. They just attract this who's who of power players.
No wonder property values there are sky high. I mean, that concentration of influence must just fuel the desirability. It's like a self-perpetuating cycle, right?
Exactly. But it's important to remember that while the luxury market is booming, there's another story playing out simultaneously.
Right.
One that highlights, you know, a stark contrast.
Right.
And raises questions about the future of D.C.
You're talking about the other side of that coin, the need for affordable housing in D.C.
Precisely. I mean, as luxury properties are being snatched up, affordability becomes an even greater challenge for many D.C. residents.
Right.
So you have this tale of two cities, you know, existing side by side.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you have these multi-billion dollar mansions.
Right.
And on the other, a growing need for affordable housing solutions.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how these two drastically different realities can coexist in the same city. What does this tell us about the future of DC's development,
right,
and who it's ultimately serving?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's one we'll continue to explore as we, you know, dig deeper into these forces that are shaping Washington, D.C.'s real estate landscape.
We're ready to dig deeper.
Right.
We've been talking about this tale of two cities in D.C.
Right.
On the one hand, you have this influx of wealth and power kind of shaping the luxury real estate market. But on the other, you know, there's a growing concern about affordability.
Yeah.
Who gets left behind in all this?
And it's not just about the economics. You know, it's about like the soul of the city. As DC attracts all these new players, its physical landscape is changing too. We talked about those grand historic homes in Kalorama.
Right.
But what happens when you introduce the modern, like, sleek aesthetic that a lot of these tech companies favor?
Yeah, it seems like there's a potential clash of architectural styles there.
Right.
You know, will these modern tech campuses end up sticking out like a sore thumb amongst all the classical government buildings and stuff?
Yeah, it really raises questions about DC's visual identity. Imagine walking down Pennsylvania Avenue and seeing this stark contrast.
Yeah.
You know, centuries-old federal building right next to this shiny new tech headquarters made entirely of glass and steel.
Right.
Is that jarring? Is it exciting?
Yeah. Is it progress or is it a loss of historical character?
Exactly.
It's like DC's caught in this tug of war between preserving its heritage and embracing the future, and that tension is playing out in its architecture.
Yeah.
But how does all of this impact the people who actually live in these neighborhoods?
That's a crucial point. You know, one of the articles you sent highlighted concerns about gentrification and displacement.
Right.
As these luxury development, whether they're traditional mansions or sleek tech offices, they kind of push into new areas. And what happens is they often drive up property values.
Right.
And it makes it harder for longtime residents to actually, like, afford to stay.
So it's not just about buildings. It's about people's lives, communities being disrupted.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you wonder if all of this push for progress is coming at the expense of those who have called DC home for generations.
It really makes you think about who benefits from DC's growth. You know, are we creating a city that only caters to the wealthy and powerful?
Right.
Or one that provides opportunities for everyone?
This makes me think about those foldable homes we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
The ones by that company, Boxable.
Right.
I mean, it's a fascinating concept. Do you think these innovative, affordable housing solutions can really gain traction in a city like DC? I mean, where land is at such a premium.
Yeah, that's the challenge, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, it's not just about having creative solutions. You have to create an environment where those solutions can thrive. And that requires a willingness to rethink traditional zoning,
right,
to embrace new forms of housing, and to prioritize affordability alongside all these luxury developments.
We talked a lot about the Trump era,
right,
and its influence on DC real estate, but what about the current administration?
Yeah.
How are they approaching these issues? Affordability, development, the role of these tech companies?
I mean, that's a great question, and one that's worth exploring further. Because while the Trump bump might be sort of fading,
right,
the underlying forces, you know, wealth, technology, they're still shaping the landscape.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see how the current administration navigates this complex terrain and what policies they put in place to address, you know, these challenges and opportunities.
We talked earlier about the push for federal employees to return to the office and, you know, the impact that had on downtown businesses.
Right.
But are we seeing a lasting shift towards, you know, in-person work? Or are we headed for a more hybrid model? And how would those different scenarios play out in terms of real estate trends? You know,
those are important questions to consider.
Yeah.
I mean, the future of work is still kind of being written.
Mm-hmm.
So its impact on cities like D.C.
Right.
is far from certain. I mean, will downtown areas regain their, you know, pre-pandemic bustle?
Right.
Or will we see a shift towards, like, more decentralized neighborhood-centric development?
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
You know, from the Trump bump and the influx of tech giants to the affordability crisis and even the clash of architectural styles. I mean, it's clear that DC is undergoing a period of significant transformation.
Absolutely. And, you know, this transformation isn't just about buildings and economics.
Right.
It's about the very fabric of the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the people who live here, the communities they form, and the future they envision.
Right.
For themselves and for their city.
This kind of brings us to a crucial question. What does all of this mean for the long-term future of DC?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what will the city look like in 5, 10, even 20 years? Will it still be the DC we know? Or will it have evolved into something entirely different?
That's the question we'll tackle in the final part of our deep dive, where we explore the long-term implications of all of these trends and what they might mean for you and the future of our nation's capital.
So we've spent this deep dive exploring all these forces shaping DC real estate. The influx of all this wealth and tech, the affordability crisis, and even the clash of architectural styles.
Right.
But now I kind of want to turn our attention to the future. What might DC actually look like in the years to come?
Well, it's a little bit like trying to predict the weather, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are so many variables at play, but if we kind of look at the trends that we've already talked about, we can start to paint a picture at least a possible picture of what the future might hold.
Okay, so let's put on our prognostication hats. What's one of the biggest potential shifts that you see on the horizon?
Well, I think we have to consider DC's traditional economic base. It's been heavily reliant on, you know, government jobs and industries related to the government. But with the arrival of all these tech giants, we're seeing a real diversification of the economy.
Yeah, on the surface, that sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Less reliance on a single industry.
It can be, yeah.
Right.
I mean, a more diverse economy can bring greater stability.
Sure.
More resilience, right?
Right.
But we also have to consider the potential downsides. I mean, think about the tech industry. It's known for its volatility.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen those boom and bust cycles play out in places like Silicon Valley.
So while the arrival of all these tech companies is bringing in a lot of new opportunities and jobs, it also introduces a new element of risk.
Exactly. DC will need to kind of navigate those risks carefully.
Yeah.
Think about it this way. If you were going to invest in DC real estate right now, would you want to know if this tech boom is sustainable or if it's just a temporary bubble?
That's a good point. Yeah. So it's not just about riding the wave of the moment. It's about understanding the long-term implications. And it's not just the economic landscape that's changing, right?
Right.
I mean, we've got to consider the social and cultural shifts, too.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine the impact of an influx of tech workers and their families on DC's cultural scene. Will we see a more vibrant city? A more diverse city? Or will there be concerns about, you know, cultural homogenization, the displacement of traditions that have been around for a long time?
Those are really interesting questions, you know, that go way beyond just the buildings. It touches on, like you said, the heart of what it means to be a DC resident.
Right.
What about all these efforts to increase affordable housing options? I mean, do you think these initiatives, like we talked about those foldable homes, can they really make a difference in a city where land is at such a premium?
I mean, it's an uphill battle, there's no doubt. But the fact that they're even being considered, these innovative solutions, shows that people are recognizing the problem. It'll take a concerted effort from policymakers, from developers, from community leaders to really make a difference.
Yeah. We talked a lot about the Trump bump, but presidential administrations come and go, right?
Right.
What happens when those political winds shift? How might future administrations approach these really complex issues of development, affordability, the role of technology in DC?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, each administration brings their own priorities and their own policies. What's encouraging, I think, is that there's a growing awareness across the political spectrum of the need for balanced and sustainable development.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key takeaway that you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think the main takeaway is this. The future of DC is not predetermined. It's a story that's still being written. And we all have a role to play in shaping how that story unfolds. Whether you're a resident, a policymaker, or just someone who cares about the future of DC, your actions and your voice matter.
That's a really powerful message. This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. You know, it's really given me a whole new perspective on DC, not just as a collection of monuments and government buildings, but as a city, a living, breathing city, grappling with these complex challenges and all these exciting possibilities.
It's been a pleasure exploring these trends with you. And remember, the future of DC is in our hands. Let's make it a future we can all be proud of.